This is chapter 2 this morning. Back to the front of your Bible, where it'll be easy to find. Genesis chapter 2. Everybody found that? Look down at verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's how man got on this planet. It didn't evolve out of a mud hole, folks. God made man himself. He made his body out of the dirt. Then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. I'm going to talk about God made man today. Man's body houses his soul and spirit while we are alive. I want you to think about that. First, let's pray. Loving God, bless your word to our hearts today. Force out of our minds the current teachings that man evolved over long periods of time from lower forms of life. Force that from our minds, O God. Erase it, because it's a lie. Our God made man directly and gave him life, as we shall see from the word of God. Help us today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our body houses our soul and spirit. First, you see, God made a body. Then, after he made a body with all the organs, he breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life. And man became a living soul. When the body dies, it's planted in the ground to become the seed for the glorified eternal body that one day we'll have if we are saved. Our body will be like a seed. I'll talk more about that as we go along this morning. But from that decayed body will spring a glorified body one day. I can't explain it, but let's consider some of the possible questions related to man's makeup. My body was created or made from the dust of the ground. Then God breathed into the body the breath of life. Man became a living soul and would have never died. Never have died if Adam had obeyed the Lord. And don't ever forget this. We were in Adam. We came from Adam, all of us. When God breathed in the breath of life, it was for an endless existence. Since God has breathed into man the breath of life, you will live somewhere forever. There is no delete button. You're an eternal creature now. You think about that. 10 trillion years from now, you'll be just as alive as you are now. The life Adam had would have continued on had he not sinned there in the garden. It would have resulted in him not going through death. Would have been no such thing as death. Our existence seems to show that God had a purpose in creating man. Why am I here? Here for a purpose. Every one of us in this sanctuary today, God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. You're not here to go out and do your thing. God's got a plan for you. And that's why we have the Bible to instruct us in how to live our life and find out the will of God for our life. That purpose is seen in we're unique from animals in a number of ways. We speak, we talk, we communicate. I know to some degree animals can communicate with one another, but not like we do. We have our soul. We have a spirit. We don't believe the animals have a spirit. Sometimes they're referred to as a soul in it. They are alive. With man, there's a unity between the body and the soul, and there is no sense of distinction between the two. Just think about it. Here you are in this body, but you can't tell the separation point. You're so entwined and unified to your body. You don't realize that when your body ceases to function, you suddenly will leave it. You'll be released. And you'll go somewhere. With man, there's unity between the body and the soul, and there's no sense of distinction. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body." Three. Soul, spirit, body make up a person. "Be preserved blameless unto the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ." Our spirit, however, is dead when we are born. The small ones today, their spirit's dead. They have to be made alive one day. That's the way it is in all of us, all people. We come to the world, our spirit's dead. What does that mean, preacher? My spirit's dead. Dead to God. You don't know God. You can't know God till you hear the gospel. And by hearing the gospel about Jesus Christ and believing it, a miracle takes place. You become a born-again one. You become a new person. A new person altogether. Without any sin charged to you. What about that? Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:1, "Now, you hath he quickened," talking to believers. You he's quickened, made alive, what that word means. Quickened means made alive. God has made alive a person that's saved. You were dead in trespasses and in sin. You might be the most moral person in the world, but you're dead to God till you're born again. Our soul is linked to the body. And in the soul is basically contained in our brain. A physical part of the body. This is why we can feel at 70 so young in our mind. I feel so good today, really. I feel like I could go out and play baseball like I used to. But you know what? My body says you can't. But in my mind, I feel like I can. Have you got the feeling like that yet, any of y'all? You see, we're trapped in our worn-out body. These young minds of ours is trapped in these worn-out bodies. Miss Vashti, I said, I know it. Amen. When we receive our new eternal body, we will not have this problem anymore. Won't that be something? Our body is separated by death from the soul and spirit, but reunited with our new body in eternity. That will take place on the day of the rapture. That's when our bodies, our physical body, will be redeemed. God has already redeemed our soul and spirit through Jesus Christ's death and our being born again. But our body has not been redeemed. It'll be redeemed at the rapture. It would be great to live forever without glasses, hearing aids, walking canes, diseases, afflictions, etc. Wouldn't it be great to live then? Ever, where I go, wait a minute, let me get my glasses. Wait a minute, my hearing aids is cut off. Let me cut my hearing aids on. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, that's our body, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, when you read the Bible and you believe what you're reading in the Word of God as a Christian, it encourages you. It gives you comfort. It gives you hope. So we're renewed day by day. But from the very moment of conception in our mother's womb, we, both the saved and the unsaved, are eternal beings that's going to live forever somewhere. From the earliest moment of conception, you have become a person. And that's the reason it's so awful, these people that's killing babies in their mother's womb. They're killing a person that God had a plan for. John 5:27-29 talks about, marvel not at this, the hour is coming which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. All is in the graves. And they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Two different groups of people. One saved, one lost. We're told a little about our glorified body. Very little we know about it. But I'm going to talk some about it with you today. Some. But we are not told of the lost person's eternal body. We know something about ours. We know nothing about the lost man's eternal body. We know that they will be in everlasting torment, but we do not know of the physical makeup of their bodies. A farmer plants a seed on his farm for a new crop. So our body is planted at death as a seed for our new body. The grain of seed goes into the soil to rot and spring forth to new life. So our body is planted and decays to spring forth one day to a new body. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:42 and following, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. Talking about our body. There's a natural body. There's a spiritual body. As is the earth, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Remember, a grain of corn, for instance, is planted in the ground in the spring, and a plant of new corn arises from the ground to produce more corn. The average ear of corn has around 800 kernels on it. Think of this, one grain of corn, one grain produces a ear of corn with about 800 kernels per year. And there's 2 or 3 ears of corn on each stalk. So think about how much corn is produced from one grain. Think about what a change took place from one grain. First a plant, then the ears of corn with all the other kernels of corn. Paul is saying we're going to have that big of a change with our new body, but it'll still be us. It's still corn, right? But look how glorious that corn became from one seed. When we get our new body, we're going to have an upgrade. Tremendous. Amen. Think of one grain producing 800 kernels per year. Do you see the change that takes place with a grain of corn? This is what's going to happen to all of us when our body is planted, if we miss the rapture. We're going to, one day on resurrection morning, we're going to have a glorified body that's out of this world. Amen. Our bodies are sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. The body of the believer goes to sleep and will one day be awakened to newness of life. The Bible don't talk about us dying as a believer. We go to sleep. The body goes to sleep. When the believer's body goes to sleep, their soul and spirit goes to be with the Lord if they're saved. It goes right then. It don't lay around and have to wait for some future time. No, immediately when the body goes to sleep, we're with the Lord. Paul said that in 2 Corinthians 5:8. Willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's a fast trip, folks. From the dust of the ground, God made our duties, our bodies, which consist of 16 elements, such as calcium, carbon, chlorine, fluorine, hydrogen, iodine, iron, magnesium, manganese, nitrogen, oxygen, phosphorus, potassium, silicon, sodium, and sulfur makes up our body. Think about all that in a pile, and God made a body out of it that looks like you and me. And the value of that today is about $5. So you're worth about $5. The psalmist said, "For thou hast possessed my reins. You've covered me in my mother's womb, and I'll praise thee for." Listen to this. David said long ago, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and thou knowest, my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect." See, here's a baby being formed, David. "And in thy book all my members were written." And God is writing down all of our members, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Once we didn't exist, but once we're conceived in our mother's womb, we are eternal, eternal beings. Do you wonder what your glorified body will be like? What qualities will it have? The only information we have concerning a resurrected body is the body of Christ. We need to view what is recorded in Philippians 3:20 and 21 about this. For Paul said about Christ, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body." Our body going to be made like his glorious body. Amen? "According to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself." So here's some of the qualities of our new body. They're going to be touchable. When you get your new body, it can be touched. It can be seeable. You'll see it. It'll be mobile. You can go about places. It'll be hearable. It'll be changeable. It'll disappear, be able to disappear. It'll be feedable. Remember how Jesus ate? It'll be transportable. And it'll be recognizable. We'll always recognize you as who you are with your new body. Won't that be some? You're always going to be you. But when we're clothed with our new body, there'll be eternal bodies we'll be living in. It's just hard to wrap our minds around living forever. But let me tell you something, folks. Life's not going to be hard like it is these first years here. Amen? We won't be struggling then. We won't be having problems then. Won't be health issues then. We're going to have a body that won't be sick again. Amen? Won't have afflictions. Won't be no devil around. Won't be no next door neighbors that we can't get along with. Amen? Amen. As our new body will be an upgrade from our present body. As we age, we begin to see and feel the body going downhill. How many of y'all already feel your body going downhill? You can't do like you used to. You can't run like you used to. Now, I think I can. But I start to, I don't. We see the hair loss, the weakening eyes. How many has got glasses? Amen. Amen. Longer periods of time to rest. Amen. I just can't rest enough. But God is planning a body for us that won't be plagued with these frailties, folks. Isn't that wonderful? Folks, we're to praise God today for what he's got in mind for us. A wonderful future. Oh, how we ought to love the Lord and serve the Lord for what he's got planned for us. Yeah, he's planning a body that won't have frailties, folks. We will have an incorruptible body one day to replace this mass of chemicals that is plaguing us and failing us. At conception, man's body, soul, and spirit are generated at the moment of conception. You become a person at conception. Body, soul, spirit. Hinduism, some of these other reincarnation religions teach different. You know, some of them talk like, you know, once in another life you were a cow or something. You know, in India they think that cow over there, they won't eat him because that was somebody in another age or sometime. Yeah. Hey, folks, that's of the devil. That's of the devil. The body that you have today is how you're conscious of the world around you. Makes you know about the world around you. The soul, your soul, which is man's self-consciousness. You aware you're sitting in church today? Amen? That's your intellect, your emotions, and your reasoning abilities. Remember, we were created in the image of God? We got that from God, but not to the same portion that He's got it. Amen? We have a lesser degree of our intellect and emotion and reasoning. Animals don't do that. Animals don't do that. Animals act by nature or by instinct. And our spirit, the spirit of man, is how he can be conscious of God. Be aware you need God. It makes you able to communicate with God when you've been born again, made alive unto God. We talk about man's makeup. Talk about these beings that we are, that were made in the image of God. I want you to grasp that. We're made in the image of God. Remember, what did Jesus Christ look like when he walked down the street? He looked like another man. He looked like us. Yet he was very God. And when we get to heaven or in eternity, we're going to see Jesus Christ as a man. But he'll be the God-man. Amen. Great day, folks. Think of the high position you have today. If you are saved, look what a high position you have. You are a son of God or a daughter of God. That's a high position. Now, over in England, they have kings and queens and princesses. And what they call the royal line, remember that? Let me tell you something. That's a bunch of bull. The royal line is in those that are in Christ Jesus. We're the royal line. We're going to be with the King of Kings. Amen. And the Lord of Lords. We're His children. Amen. That's where royalty is at. And it's all by the grace of God. By faith in Jesus as our Savior. Isn't this marvelous? What a high position you have. No billionaire in this world has that position if they're not saved. If he's only worth $5, just burn him up. That's his ashes, $5. What happened to his billions, trillions? Now our body, not our body, but our soul, which has intellect, emotion, reason like God, and our spirit is also in some ways similar to God, although God is much greater than man. Paul said in Acts 17:29, "For as much then we are the offspring of God." We're the offspring of God, church. You're somebody. You're important. God cares about you. He loves you. That's why Christ came, to redeem us, to save us. He paid for our sin by shedding His blood and dying in our place and then conquering death. That's the old gospel message, folks. It's the message everybody everywhere needs to hear. And they just masses and masses of people in this country right here that don't hear it. They don't hear it. This week, I had two guys come to the house to cut down some trees and grapevines and branches and stuff like that, do some yard work. One of them was a black man, and he was wired up so he could hear the radio all the time. I asked him, was he saved? And he had to go cut that thing off. What do you say? I said, have you been saved? No. I said, is that music you listen to, Christian music? No. I said, well, you need to be listening to something to help your soul, help you get saved. Friendly guy, likable guy. He was as hard as this thing here. He had been working in the yard. He was just as hard as this pulpit rostrum here. 54 years of age. No interest in the Lord. But he sings in the choir at church. Aren't people all mixed up? What good singing in the choir going to do if he falls dead? Oh, listen to the wrong kind of music. And that just reminded me this week of the people that's on the radios listening to all this junk music, trashy music. Some of it's filthy music. And they're just consuming it. And Jesus Christ died for every single one of them. Jesus Christ died for every single one of them. But they have no interest. All their interest is in satisfying this body. You know. Yeah, I heard the other night that on New Year's night, that the mayor of New York and his wife was by herself dancing when New Year come in. Did y'all hear that? People drinking. And firecrackers went off. My wife couldn't sleep a bit that night for firecrackers. Of course, when I pull out my hearing aids, I don't hear no firecrackers. But they did wake me up, even they were that loud at the house. Oh, listen to me, folks, today. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us. The reason these people are not dead and gone and in hell, God has given them more time and more time and more time to get saved. And they won't have any excuse when their day comes. God loves everybody. He wants everybody saved. And that's why we got to keep preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel. And even then, we can't make them listen. But God said, my word won't go out there void and return void. It's going to accomplish what I want it to accomplish. You don't want to hear it, you ain't got to hear it. That ain't good English, but it still sounds right. Amen. If you don't want to hear it, you ain't got to hear it. But it's going to condemn you anyway. It's going to condemn you anyway. Man don't realize how much God loves him. Man just don't realize how much God loves him. And the only way to even get a view of that is to look at the cross and see how Jesus Christ suffered, what he went through. When his own soul was made an offering for sin, church. That's why we need to be in love with Jesus. And we ought to see the value of souls as perishing. That God loves just as much as he loves us. We've got to keep getting out the gospel. Trying to reach out further and further and further as God makes it possible. Because Jesus Christ was fully God in a human body, he was able to pay for man's sin. That's the only way man's sin could have been paid for, was for Jesus Christ, who is God, was to come and die on the cross. No other man could have paid for it. It took God Almighty himself to pay for our sin that had offended him. That's how awful my sin is. And yours. And we don't think that, do we? But to God it is. That's how awful our sin is, man, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. Sin offends God that much. God don't see no little sin. It's all sin. And he sent Jesus, who was God, to die on a cross. Only he could satisfy God, who is holy. And then the Lord went down into that grave for some 30-something hours before he, of his own volition, got up and walked out to live forever. And he said, whoever believed in him will live forever. Are you a real believer? A born-again believer? Yeah. God does not save anybody by his love because he loves them. God saves by grace. We don't deserve to be saved, but he saves us by grace through faith in his only begotten Son that suffered that we might have salvation. There's no other plan of salvation. There's no other hope for mankind. I don't care what religion they come up with. It won't work. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith. Isn't it wonderful? God only says, believe, and you'll be saved. You ain't got to bring a goat or a sheep or a lamb. You ain't got to do anything. You ain't got to do like the Mormons, go around, or the Jehovah's Witnesses. No, you don't have to do anything but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and it's not of yourself. He gives you the faith to believe when you hear the gospel. You see, you and I don't do anything to get saved. He furnishes everything. It's a matter of our will. Will I believe? Will I believe? Will I commit myself to serving the Lord? How much of myself will I commit to serving the Lord? You and I and everyone in this building have made a decision how much you're going to serve the Lord already. He gave his all, and he wants my all. He wants your all. So he can bless us and use us. Now sin is forever paid for. Isn't that wonderful, folks? All the sin that's going on in the world, it's already paid for. God's already satisfied about the sin problem. Now he says, if you'll accept my Son, I'll accept you. That's the message. Yes, God gave us a body to live in this world, and he put us in these bodies to work here, to learn about him here, and one day be prepared to go live with him forever. And you get to make that choice whether you want to live at in heaven or hell. God won't make that choice for you. You will make it. Every man will make that choice. Every woman. Where they want to live at forever. And God's going to honor their request. Loving God, thank you for the time. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you made man a tripartite being, body, soul, and spirit. Yeah, the body is physical, tangible, but our soul and spirit is intangible, invisible, but they still are. And one day we'll depart these old worn out bodies to go into your presence, and one day even have a new body in which to love the Lord and serve the Lord and enjoy the Lord forever, forever, forever. Glory to God. Glory to God that there's a God that loves me, a sinner. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. May the Lord speak to hearts today on this first year of Sunday of the year. Would be a good time to come to the altar, talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord about our president, about what's going on in our country, folks. Come and cry out to the Lord that he would have mercy upon us, the people of God, that we can keep preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel.